was talking about how this battle, we can win it. So the war that God is laying in my heart is repairing the altar of the Lord. Repairing the altar of the Lord. So it's important that we not sleep, so that we can know how to order the battle. Go through the scriptures. Because once the battle is spiritual, the solution must be spiritual. Each time the people of God want to go to battle, the first thing they will go and do, they will go and repair the altar and offer an offering unto the Lord. You see, the world is that many of us have no altar. Either the altar which we had at the beginning, the altar of the Lord. So many altars are broken down, and so offerings are not being brought. And God is saying we must repair the altar. And there are people too, no altar at all. If you are not born again, you have no altar where you can offer any offering that will be acceptable to the Lord. So it's important that in this hour of darkness, in this hour, we need to be sure of our altar, a place where we can call upon the name of the Lord and He will answer us. Praise the Lord. We'll read two passages. The first one from Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. We'll read from verse 8 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering and the altar, and shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at one verse in Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Verse 23. Let's read 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Praise God. Now, we are looking at the altar of the Lord. The last verse talking about a fire. Because if God is saying, this fire shall not go out, we might begin to wonder, why, if fire goes out, what do? You put another fire now. Because sometimes this is our attitude. So if the fire goes out, we look for fire and put another fire. There's matches. So what do? Just carry one and strike it and put. But this fire came from the Lord. And that is why God is saying the fire shall never go out. And you begin to appreciate when the altar of burnt offering was set up. And after they finished laying everything, and said, fire came from God and consumed the offering. And it was at that day, on that day, that God told them that this fire that came from up, consuming this altar, must never go out. So it is now left for the people of God how they are going to keep this fire burning. And remember, at that time, they were in the wilderness. So it means they are going to be moving from one point to the other. As they were going, carrying the altar and everything, they must carry the fire along with it. Because it's important that we understand this very well. Because we are at the time when we are in the wilderness. And we are going to be asking too many questions. How am I going to carry this fire? God will understand. When God has given direct instruction, this light shall never go out. Irrespective of the situation, of your circumstance, of your condition of life, this fire shall never go out. It's an injunction. It's an instruction. It must never go out. And so, you see, the tabernacle is laid. And God is saying, this altar of burnt offering. This is the wood. So, what the priest is supposed to do is that he must appear two times a day, morning and evening. So, two things will happen. The fire will not go out, and offering will perpetually be on that fire. So, two issues. How you are going to keep the fire burning, so that by the time you come back, your offering will not be cold. Because if it is cold, it becomes abomination. Before that fire came from heaven, there was no problem in the camp. The people, you gather your own offering, you can put fire, you do everything. God will accept it. But that from that day on, when God said, this fire shall not go on. See, chapter 10. Of Leviticus, that was the test of it. Then, maybe Nadab and Abihu woke up and they didn't do what they were supposed to have the other night. And so they thought they can just go and bring fire from anywhere and strike it. And they did. So what happened? The fire came from God and consumed them. And when they wanted, the father wanted the guy, said, no, the anointing oil is upon you. You cannot mourn. You cannot weep. You cannot even see the dead body of your sons. It is that hard. And that is our God for you. So, what is God saying? The fire must be on. The offering must perpetually be on it, morning and evening. So, you come in the morning. So, what are you supposed to do? He said, soot will have gathered. What you call ashes. So you remove them. And you gather all of them together. And you bring in more firewood. You laid everything. You kill the appropriate animal. You lay them on the fire. Then in the evening, you come back again. And repeat. And what God is saying is that even the ashes, God did not say, just go and throw them anyhow. No. He said, you gather them and put them in a clean place. That stands as memorial. It's a memorial to God. So, the more you are offering unto the Lord, and you are gathering, the more, you know, you are becoming more purified in God. So it means, if after 10 years, there are no ashes from your offering, then it means that you are not doing anything. It shows nothing. And what is God saying? Today, there is no physical fire, no, but there is a fire that is consuming our lives. Because we are the offering that will be put on that fire. That was why the Lord Jesus came as a typical example of the new offering that is required. So he was the animal that was offered and put on this fire. And he, who is the priest himself, offered himself, and the same priest will put fire on the offering. So, for me and you, for us to be able to fight this battle of the end time, it means that we will offer our soul and put this on the altar of the Lord. And when he is there, and God is saying, the fire must not go out. So, for us, you will wish that the fire goes out because the heat will not be on us. But what God is saying is that when you put your soul on this altar of the Lord, you go and gather firewood and put under it. So that if you do that in the morning, by evening, you have been consumed to a level, and then you will come and gather it, and you go and keep it in a clean place. Tomorrow, that in the evening, you come and repeat it. Who is on the fire? Me and you. Who is bringing the fire? It's us. So each time we go to God, God must give us strength, fire upon this altar. And what happened is that by morning again, we have been more purified. Because there will be ashes to burn all the ashes of the night. You know, all during the day, all that the problem that we had, you know, how we missed it, how we did this, how all of them will be gathered together again. By the time you put yourself on the fire, by morning, all those ones will have burnt off. So you gather again, you keep in a clean place. You are not discarding them. What is the clean place? The clean place is in God. And that is why in God there is a book of remembrance. As you daily pass through all these experiences, you are purified. Then you can say, oh, I used to be this. Now I am no longer. Because there are arches to show for the change. Little by little, it's changing us. From earthly things to the heavenly. It is important that we know that change must come. So, we are talking about the battle. The battle is spiritual. And it is those who have altar, you know, of the Lord burning that can overcome. We'll not read it. There was a time in Israel that Saul was to go to battle against the Philistines. He couldn't go to battle. Why? He said, I have not offered unto the Lord. And Samuel told him, wait. 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 I will come so day and will offer the offering. He waited a little. And that day came. But that day was not yet over. So he said he forced himself to go and offer unto the Lord. Now, there was a problem with that because he was not a priest. So he had not the authority to do what he did. And what was he saying? He said, because of the people, we are in an era that whatever we do because of the people. What? So I have not offered unto my God. So what are we doing? We must not do anything because of the people. We do it because it is right and acceptable before God. It is ordered of the Lord. So if it is not ordered of the Lord, it is not going to be acceptable. So this offering of the Lord is important. So we must do it right. And to do it right, the altar must be properly set. And God must come from heaven with his fire to consume the offering and give you the fire. So, the day you are born again is the day we receive the fire. If you are not properly born again, you have problem because you may not even have any fire. Not to talk of the one you are going to be fanning. Because our duty is to bring the firewood, lay ourselves on the altar, and then the rest is left to God. So when we are there and the firewood is there, so in Malachi, we are told that God is what? Is the refiner's fire. So it will blow. It will blow so that all the fats in us will disappear. And the fat is not acceptable before God in the sense that they are things that they have gathered. And that's why God said, you must offer them unto me. All our excesses, it could be spiritual. What happened? Say God say, offer them to me. So you put on the fire. And the bad aspect is that as the fire touches the fat, it generates oil that makes the fire to do what? To burn the man. So God is in the business of purifying his people. But there is a work for us to do. And on, in the whole of the tabernacles, the light that will enter into the holy place and set and light up the golden altar, you know, must come. That's the lampstand, golden altar, the golden lampstand, and the golden altar of incense. The light for them must come from the light in the altar court, which is the light of the altar of sacrifice. So it means if you have left, not properly born again, you cannot go forward because God is looking at the light which came forth from him in you. As you are progressing, you just discover that many Christians, yes, You may enter the holy place figuratively now, and you just discover that you have no light because your fire has gone out. You may have offering in your hand. You may have the lampstand in your hand, and there is oil, there is wick, which is you, and there is the lamp, but no light. So you cannot take light from any other place. What do? You leave everything in the holy place. You go back to the outer court and go and make another offering. So that from that offering, you get light again that will take you in. If you find out that just as you are getting to the altar of incense, light must come from outside. There is no light with you. You can't even take it from the lampstand. You go back to go and take it appropriately. And you go in again, then you can offer yourself as an offering unto the Lord. So it is important that we appreciate the importance of the altar, you know, of burnt offering. Because that is the beginning. And our ability to succeed in God, how far we are going to go in God, is determined by how much fire you have at the time when you gave your life to Christ. Whether you could have great light, but has that light gone out? If the light has gone out, don't struggle to continue to go on. Because that's the problem we have. Oh, let me know. Just struggling on. You just hope and hope. Especially we Nigerians, we hope and hope that from nowhere one light will come again. The light of God will not come in the wrong place. That light must come to the altar of offering. That altar of sacrifice. That is the place the fire will come to. Not to any other place. It won't come to the lampstand. And he's telling us that you want to get light, go to the altar of sacrifice. And that altar of sacrifice is in the outer court. So there should be no struggling to proceed, to go on when there is no fire. So God is showing us something, that it's important that every morning you must offer an offering. In the evening, you must offer an offering. You are not just offer an offering and just put it there and you go. You gather firewood, you clean the soot, you remove the ashes. It's thought, it's kept. Praise the Lord. So, this foundation is important as we look at the second passage, that God is doing something. There is a battle ahead. And that this battle, we must offer unto the Lord before we can fight the battle. And we must offer appropriate offering. Put appropriate fire. It must come from God. And that fire from God is what we carry on. We must carry on. Everything we are doing. You are a minister unto the Lord. You want to be baptized in water, you carry this light along. Born again. You want to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. And that's why the Lord Jesus was stressing it. You know, that man came, he was this, he was that. He had all credentials. And he told him, said, what do I do to enter? He said, you must be born again. So we must be born again. And that's what God is saying and is telling us. Because it's important. Because if you are not born again, then you have no fire. You are helpless. And that determines the life which Saul, the king, lived. Because he was not born again, it requires another person to be making the offering on his behalf. And the altar of the Lord that we have now, nobody can make any offering on your behalf. You must offer your own offering. I offer my own offering. Because that was the example the Lord Jesus came. He came and offered himself. Praise the Lord. Now, the second part we want to look at, how we can repair this altar, is the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll read from verse 29. First King. Chapter 18. We'll read from verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt offering, a sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Praise the Lord. Now, we are talking about altar. There was an altar. It was broken down, and the people went on doing everything on their own, pretended that nothing happened. There is a problem with that. Once there is no altar of God standing, then there will be several altars of Baal that will take his place. And that was what happened in Israel at this time. There was no proper altar of God, but every place was an altar unto Baal. And the king, everybody, they led the people of God astray until the time of battle. Like Barasik was saying, we are going to call the battle. We are the one that will order it. So it was Elijah who now called the battle. I said, okay, gather the people together. Let's know who is God. If it is God, we'll serve him. If it is Baal, then we'll serve Baal. But there is only one condition. Fire must come from heaven. So if Baal is the God, he will bring fire from heaven. If God is God, he will bring fire from heaven. So that is the difference. It doesn't matter whether people are performing miracles. If the ultimate miracle of fire coming from heaven is not accomplished, then it is not God. It is Baal. And that was what was demonstrated here. He said, gather the people together. Why are we standing between 2 opinions? Let's know who is God, so that we serve him, we worship him, then we follow him. But remember, there was the offering. Figuratively, there was, in Israel, we can say, there were the morning offering had been offered long ago. but there is an evening sacrifice. If we are to bring it to our time, Jesus was the morning offering, and we are to be the evening offering. That is where the problem is. So his offering was perfect. He offered himself, put his fire and everything. And now, he's saying, do the same thing. Follow my footsteps. But here we are following after Baal. Our hearts have gone astray. We are not serving God. And so, that's why we are having so much trouble. So much trouble. And at the end of the day, the same king that was worshipping Baal was accusing Elijah that you are the troubler of Israel. And the man looked at him in the face. He said, you thou king and your household, you are the troubler of the people of God. We pray that we will not be among that will be classified as the troubler of Israel. That we will not be classified, that we are the one troubling the people of God. Because if we are not doing the right thing, if we are following after Baal, if we are doing things in the way of the world, then, of course, we'll be classified as those who are following Baal, who are troubling the people of God. So, that was the time you now say, get gathered together. And over 450 prophets of Baal came. And God helped him. He said, the issue is that let's start from the altar. Yes, after the morning offering of the Lord Jesus, so several altars have taken over. Yes, we have given our life to Christ. Are there altars that have taken over after that experience? That we cannot say that the fire of the Lord is upon my altar and I'm the offering on that altar. So what do we see? We are out of the altar. And so what do we see? We are seeing all manner of creeping things on this altar. And God is saying, you must repair it. Those altars will not be acceptable. The altars we are setting up. Yes, it might be cathedral, it might be anything, you might call it anything. Miracles might be taking place there. Is that the altar of the Lord? Because that's what God will visit it. And that's what happened. So we might say that in this time we are not following the worship of Baal. But look at it, Jezebel. And what is God talking about Jezebel? Because you have to look at who is Jezebel. The woman, he said, was usurping authority. So anyone who is following that order, you belong to the troubler of Israel. So because there is a place, you know, for everyone in the house of God. So we have come to the place that the Jezebel spirit must be judged in the life of God's people. Because where Ahab was afraid, his wife Jezebel would take over and do anything on his name and go ahead. And God's judgment came. When it came, it was not on Jezebel alone, it was also on Ahab. God did not exonerate him. So we are dealing with a system and a spirit. And whatever God is saying to one, he says, I say to all. So let's not say we are exonerating ourselves. We must look inward, you know, to see that Jezebel's spirit is not operating in us and is not operating through us. Not only that, it has spirit that will know the right thing and will not do it. It's the same thing. It must not operate in us. It must not operate through us. So, the people of God must look at the word of God, follow it, and ensure that what we are doing pleases God. Praise the Lord. So we are looking at the setting up of this altar. And so he said he set it up. There was, what is God saying? Foundation. Foundation. So that was the first thing. He said, 12 tribes upon whom the word came. So you do it according to foundation. So the foundation must be right. And that's why the psalmist, you know, was telling us that if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Have nothing to do. There is nothing. You must go back to the foundation. And in this case, the foundation of that altar was relayed. And he did it properly. And having finished doing that, set it up, kill animal, wash it, and place it upon it. It means there was, it involves the washing of the inner part is a way of, it's a, that's why you confess your sins, you are asking, you are using the word of God. Because what you use to wash the inner part is the word of God. And so the word must be there profusely to watch us so that we are clean before we can be placed on the altar. Because if there are still dungs and all dirty things in us, when we are on the altar, God will look away because that will not be a holy offering. So that was done. And what did he say? He said, now put trenches around it. Now, trenches speaks of capacity to collect. We're talking about the foolish and the wise virgins. One, it said, one hand oil in the lamp only. And what was it? The Bible classified them as unwise virgins, foolish. It said, but the other hand oil in their lamp and oil in their vessel. So that was what the Spirit of God is showing me here. That when he said three trenches around it, and so you enlarge the capacity. Because the word of God is going to come in dimensions which we have not known before. And then if the fire of God will consume at this lifetime, then you must enlarge your capacity for the word of God. Anyone who is thinking that the word of God, oh, this one is too much, let me just stay here, let me understand just this little. I just want to be born again and wait and go to heaven. Sorry. You have a problem. Because in this end time offering, there is the enlargement of capacity. And the only way to enlarge your capacity, let me make it practical, is this. When you are born again, your spirit is what is born again. Then the soul has a problem. And so, when you want to enlarge your capacity, then you begin to deal with your soul, your mind, you know, your emotions. You begin to deal with them. And when you deal with them, they begin to take on Christ. You are enlarging your capacity. So the word of God, when it's coming, is no longer just to stay in your spirit man. It's going to enter your mind, your emotion, your will. Because your will becomes the will of Christ. And so that's why Christ can say, not my will, but thy will be done. What do you think that is it? It's that is an enlarged capacity that can take in anything. Not the one that say, no, I don't want this one. This is how far I want to go with God. Many of us, we are setting limits. You know, how far we want to go with God. You know, what we can do, what we cannot do, we set it. God, this is how far you want it. I want you to go with me. But in this matter, we have come to a place where we must have enlarged capacity. Capacity to receive the word of God. And he said, okay, bring, they brought four cruses of water and said, fill them up, pour on the offering. They pour. He said, do it the second time, do it the third time. So what are we dealing with there? 12. 12 vessels of water have been poured. He said, they all flowed and filled the trenches. You want God? Then enlarge your capacity. Because the word of God is the fuel that will purify us. There is no other fuel anywhere. And if you are not taking that word, you cannot be purified. You cannot be cleansed. So, as we are pouring the water, it does one thing, it's cleansing the offering. And as it's cleansing the offering, it's contained in the capacity which has been dug around our heart, our soul. And so, when he prayed, I don't say, God, what happened? The fire came. And what was the fire consuming? The fire was consuming everything. So, let's see what the fire in verse 35. Say, and the water ran round about the altar. So, the water of the word of God must run round our hearts. And not only that, I must fill the trench also with water. So now look at what God is saying. The trench of our soul, we can call it the four dimensions of the soul. And water must fill them all. And with an enlarged capacity, God will begin to fill us. And he went on. In verse 36, it said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Because this is where the emphasis is now. Yes, there is going to be an evening sacrifice. And the altar must be right before that time of the offering of evening sacrifice. If your altar is not right by the time of the offering of evening sacrifice, you are a foolish virgin. Because the offering will have been made, completed, when everybody will have gone. Then you are still battling to repair your own altar after the offering has been completed. There's no longer any other offering. And that's why Christ came to give us this example, you know, of how our offering should look like. And the earlier we begin to prepare our hearts, getting ready, you know, for the time of the offering of evening sacrifice. Look at the scriptures. Each time you hear about the offering of evening sacrifice, a lot of things do happen. So, this evening sacrifice is coming. The Lord Jesus was the typical morning sacrifice. And we must meet up to that standard of the Lord Jesus during the offering of this evening sacrifice. So that the people will see the power of God being made manifest in the people. Because when the fire comes down and consumes the people, and we begin to live the life, you know, of a true Christian, said the people around, what are they going to say? They will say, Lord, he is God. But we know there are also some of us, for now, you know, which Brother Paul describes as those, you know, who blackmail, who are the people are saying negative things against God because of us, because of our lives. But we must come to a place, there must be a change, that people will see our lives and give glory to God. That is a pure offering, a pure sacrifice. Because when the fire came forth and consumed the people, that was what happened at Azusa Street. The people were ready. Fire came down, and by the time they came out, people knew that these ones have been with God. We have been with Christ. And let it be said of us too. Let it be said of me. This one has been with Christ. This is the essence of the offering of the morning sacrifice. At that point, the war is over. You know, because we are preparing for war. You are preparing war. To prepare war, you must prepare for war. So, because if you are not prepared for war and you prepare war, sorry, you'll be disgraced. So, but what God is saying is that now is the time to prepare for war, so that we can prepare war. We'll challenge the enemy. We are the one that will challenge the enemy. It's the people that will do so. And that's why you see the scriptures in Revelation, God starts talking about a strong angel who bind the devil. Which other strong angel will bind the devil, brethren? It is the body of Christ. That is the strong angel that can bind the devil. No physical angel who were in heaven with Satan before he fell will be the one to bind him. Because those people did not know the power of the blood. Me and you, we have known the power of the blood. And that is the only thing that can overcome Satan. So if you are still hearing that there is a physical angel that will come to bind the devil, I will tell you that don't be disappointed, because that is not the direction God is saying. The direction is me and you. We are the powerful angel. Because the Bible says they overcame him with what? The blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. Angels have not known the salvation of God. So they have no testimony. That's why when Satan fell, he cannot be redeemed, because they were created in a perfect form. So but for us, we have been created, you know, in the nature of God and endued with the blood and with the capacity for the testimony of Christ. And so this testimony of Christ is what we need to overcome Satan. So as we are reading the book of Revelation, know that the powerful angel is me and you, the body of Christ. That we have all known the power of the blood and the word of our testimonies. So this is where we are coming to. That when we receive the fire of God, when our altar is clean and God can trust it with his fire, with his power, with his grace, then what else again? It means that we have the capacity to bind the devil. And so, just know that what my brother is saying is real. It's achievable. It's just what me and you should do. Clean heart. You know, clean heart. Having the testimony of Christ. Because testimony is not saying, thank God I had I pray God took me to Lagos and back. That's not the testimony we are talking about here. That's not the testimony that the devil is afraid of. That you preach, that's not the testimony that the devil is afraid of. But that your life is bringing forth grace is a threat to the devil. That is the testimony we are talking about, brethren. So, we can overcome him by the blood and by the testimony. And the only way they can come is only when we live the life of Christ. And the testimony speaks of the ashes we are talking about. That ashes that are poured and stored in a clean place. That is the testimony of Christ, for which we need at this time to overcome. I will pray that the grace of God will open our eyes to see, you know, that in this battle of the end, God has made everything that we need to overcome. And he has placed this in our hands. Our ability to overcome Satan. Because he said, the angel came. He said, that old serpent. He said, bind it. Bind it. So we are going to bind Satan. We are going to cast him to where he rightly belongs. But we must rise up in the spirit. Praise the Lord.